welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
And Damien doesn't seem to be here with us today.
What? Sorry, what? Huh? I didn't realize that.
I have no clue what the hell happened to him today.
He's here. He's just hiding.
Oh, okay.
You know what it is? He chose another movie, and whenever he does that, he goes AWOL.
I guess. Today we're going to be going through what we watched. We're going to be talking about our top five heist films. Then we're going to go through news trailers, and then we'll be reviewing Rififi, the film that Damien wants us to review. Because he rules our life, I think. Does he?
Something like that.
Okay. Anyways, I'm going to start out with what I watched this week.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is that we took a week off.
Yes.
So, there are a lot of films that I've seen, but I think I'm going to limit it. I'm only going to mention like four films that I saw.
Or six or
no,
seven.
No, I'll leave you some stuff that I know we've seen together. Especially like the stuff that I've written reviews for. Yeah, I'll leave those alone.
Okay, cool.
This week I saw Away We Go, the new Sam Mendes film.
I hate you.
And this movie is really funny. Like, I think this could be in my top 10 at the end of the year from the way it was. It's just a film about these two guys who... Not guys, it's a guy and a girl. I'm an idiot. One's from The Office, and I don't know where the other girl is from. You've mentioned it. Where's the girl from?
Well, she's in a bunch of stuff, but I believe most recent that's kind of large is, I think, she was in Idiocracy.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that movie. Anyways.
Yeah, it was okay.
This couple is just one of the funniest couples I've seen on film so far this year. And it's not even, like, they do borderline on the sweet a lot of the times, the sweet, cute comedy kind of stuff, but it's just really funny, especially when you get to see them interact with other people and the jokes that they play on the other people. Like, the scene with Ellen, who is the woman who doesn't want the strollers, you know, in the trailer. Why would I want a stroller?
Yeah.
It's a completely ridiculous family, that family. And just what they do when they're at that point, it's just plain hilarious. I love that scene. Like, the film is really moving from family to family, as what has happened is his parents are moving away for 2 years. They're going to live in Belgium. And they've decided they don't want to live in a town where they don't know anyone. So they're going to all of these towns, like they're just touring them, where they have friends and people that they know. And they're going like, where will we live? And they go to Phoenix, Arizona. They go to Montreal. They go to Miami. All sorts of places. And it's just place to place to place to place and just funny all around. It's a really good movie and I really like it. I also saw Assassination of a High School President.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that one as well.
Which is this huge touted film online. I mean, I guess I got my hopes up a bit. And I guess partially I didn't know what I was getting into when I was watching it. Because what do you think this movie is? You've seen the trailer alone.
I have seen the trailer.
What do you think this movie is?
I'm not sure. I know it's probably, you know, a bunch of high school jokes, a bunch of high school stuff. And then every once in a while Bruce Willis comes in and kick some motherfucker to the ground. Yeah. What is it?
This film feels like a 90-minute episode of Veronica Mars.
Awesome.
Except he's a journalist, which she is at times.
Well, yes, sometimes. From time to time, yes. Sure.
I mean, and from the way I've described it, you would say awesome, but it really isn't that good. And and I mean, my biggest problem for it is a problem I've found that I have with a lot of films recently, is it doesn't set itself up well enough. Like, it just skims the beginning where it's like, you have this guy giving this speech, which is in the trailer, about I am Funk and I am a journalist, I am this awesome journalist, and then the girl comes in and says, you haven't written an article yet. And that's really the intro we get to this scenario, and then he gets framed for SATs. Someone steals the SATs at school.
Oh.
And he goes out to find out who's done it, and so on and so forth. I don't want to give much away, but I wasn't really that impressed with this film. And the highlight of the movie for me was Bruce Willis, because whenever he came on screen, he was downright ridiculous.
Well, Bruce Willis is the man. There's no
two ways about it.
I mean, I think I might give it a 6 out of 10, this movie. Maybe it might deserve a second viewing to just see if it works better now that I know what I'm getting into. But I wasn't that happy when I watched it. What else have I seen? I saw Whiteout.
Yes, you did. I hate you so much. Made me watch it.
The movie was so bad that I was too depressed to write about it, so I decided not to bother to write the review.
Yes, I saw that on Facebook.
The movie is bad. It's very bad. It's so bad that it was one of the movies that it looks like Carib was hoping to be big at the theater, and they decided to drop it after a week.
Oh, is it not?
It's not playing anymore.
My goodness.
Well, applaud them. Tyler Perry is still playing, though.
Of course it is. Come on.
No justice.
Yeah.
That's what I claim. Tyler Perry has gone 5 weeks. 500 Days of Summer only got a week in one showing per day, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
No justice.
Bitches, bitches.
Whiteout was just a mess of a movie.
No, it wasn't a mess of a movie. I've told you exactly what happened. They took an hour and a half to get to the point, and then they finally got to the point, and then they were like, oh, it's over now. No more movie. You're finished. That was it. That was Whiteout.
Really?
It was just a bunch of rambling along in the first, you know.
Do you think, like, I was so, like, for the first 5 minutes of the movie, I was like, this movie's going to be awesome because you see Kate Beckinsale start to strip.
That's exactly what what the director wanted you to believe. He said, okay, I know exactly why each and every one of you have come to this movie. You have come because I have one actress and one actress alone in here. I have Kate Beckinsale. I will make you think that you will see all these things, but you will not. No, you will not. That's exactly what he was doing.
Well played, sir. Well played. No, man. This movie, it had no point. Like, it was a detective film about this.
Apparently, it was
about
a detective
film. This murder that happened in Antarctica. But, I mean, other than seeing lots of snow...
P.S. Did you even know that before going into the movie?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay, I didn't know that at all.
I knew that.
But then, that might be because I didn't pay much attention to the trailer, but I assume this was going to be like the thing.
No, I think that it can't help but be compared to the thing, because it does a lot of the same things that the thing does, except instead
does
of having a creature...
The thing does that the thing, the thing.
Okay. Except of having the creature, it's a killer out there. And they are doing the same thing, and on top of which, it's the night, it's winter coming at this point, so they're going to have 6 months of darkness. And they can't fly out for whatever reason.
Because it's too choppy.
So, yeah. You know, she's racing against time to solve this mystery, and it's really lame.
Yeah, essentially. Did you watch anything else?
I know there was something else I wanted to talk about. Where's my list?
If you talk about the movie that I want to talk about, I'm going to kill you. And it's not the one you think, because...
All right, I've started the Soderbergh marathon.
Right.
Right. I told you, Douglas, I'm going to leave it to you. I promised you, didn't I? I promised you. I've been doing the Soderbergh marathon, and I've taken a little break in the last couple of days, but I'm going to start back starting tomorrow with Traffic. I'm going to watch Traffic and review it. But I've
you're
seen
watch Traffic again, right? This is not the first time you're watching Traffic.
No, I've seen it before, oh, okay. But I really don't remember much. Other than it's about drugs, Michael Douglas is in it, Catherine Zeta-Jones is in it, and I remember this
she's
one...
She's pregnant in the movie.
Yeah, and I remember this one
she
thing...
She almost takes cocaine.
Where she's transporting cocaine and it's like in a doll.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking like a
that's
doll.
That's the exact scene I'm thinking of.
That's all I really remember about the movie.
Yeah, I don't remember much about it either, to
and,
tell you the truth. I saw it a long
Benicio is in it.
Of course.
Yeah. So anyways, so far I've watched The Limey, which is a really cool noir detective revenge film.
Revenge films are fun. I will find you and I will kill you.
It's exactly like Taken without as much without a big budget. He's British instead of Irish.
Taken really have a big budget. I mean, it looks nice, but it doesn't seem to be one of those.
If you watch The Limey, you'll find the difference in the budget. And he always makes Cockney jokes. Like, I think that Soderbergh was testing out Cockney jokes for Ocean's 11 for what's his name? Your least favorite actor,
Dan
Don Cheadle's character.
I'm the worst actor in the world, Cheadle.
Because it's like every 10 minutes he does a Cockney thing where he's like, I'm going to the butcher's. And he's like, what? Butcher's nook, look. And you're like, oh, that's supposed to be funny. Because, I mean, I think the Cockney jokes in Oceans were funny. Where they were placed and how they were given out. But the way it's put in Limey.
Only one of them.
They're like a couple.
I thought it was just Barney Rubble.
Well, that's a big one.
I mean, he says pony once, but they never explain that. There's no, like, explanation of what pony means.
Maybe. I'd have to look back, because I haven't watched that movie in a long while.
Yeah.
Barney is the big one that everyone remembers. But anyways, yeah. Limey is a really good noir detective revenge film, but some of the dialogue is kind of iffy.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I've also seen The Good German, which is a really awesome movie. If I looked on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think it's at a 50%. I don't know what people are thinking, because this was Soderbergh going out to make a 40s movie, and he succeeded in every shape and form. I read on Wikipedia that he actually decided to not use any of the technology that was changed from then to now. Like, he used a digital camera, but that was it. All the lighting he used was the old lights, all the mics he used. He didn't use any wireless mics hooked on. He had the huge old boom mics using, so that people had to shout on set to be heard. And all of the transitions are exactly like how they were back in the 40s. It's a really awesome movie and people need to see that. I've also seen Bubbles so far, which I have to say I wasn't a huge fan of. I mean, I love The Girlfriend Experience, and that's the same kind of movie, like low budget, him with his camera and two actors. But Bubble, it was an interesting film, because it seems that his end product that he wanted to create was a sense of a bubble. Like, you know, when people say that you're in a bubble, like in a town.
Wait, what? You had me at a bubble, but then all of a sudden you related it to town. I don't understand.
You know, when people say that people who live in this town are in a bubble.
I know that when you say you're in a bubble, it means that you're oblivious of everything around you. But if you're in a town, you're in a group of people. But then how can you, with the group of people around you, and be aware of the group of people around you, yet be in a bubble and be oblivious to the group of people around you?
Because the group of people in the bubble are oblivious to everything that's happening outside of their bubble.
Okay, so the bubble thing, it's not strictly applicable to towns.
Yes, it is.
No, it's just bubble. Then you say, okay, this movie is about a town that is in a bubble. Not, you know how they say, like, people in towns are in bubbles? No. No.
Yeah, whatever.
No.
Well, what you said. And he did that very well, and that was really cool. But the story itself, I found kind of boring just going through. It felt like someone was just holding your hand and walking you through the story, and then you're like, ah, it's done. Like, oh, okay.
Oh, fun. Sounds like,
Yeah, so that's what I've been watching.
That's what you've been watching. Well, I watched 500 Days of Summer this week. And that's actually not the one I was worried you were going to take, to tell you the truth. I didn't read your review, I apologize. But you told me you gave it a 10 out of 10. As you said, 10 out of 10. I loved that movie. But at the same time, actually, no, I wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10. I think it's a fantastic movie. It's really funny. It's really... It does everything that it tries to do really well. But, you know, it's not perfect. Come on. So
no, you see, I think that it does have problems if you try to look at it as something that it isn't. This movie is perfect in the sense that it is a romantic comedy, which is one of the most honest romantic comedies you can find. It does fantasize a lot of stuff because it's from the perspective of the guy, Tom, but even that is just perfect in how they display this story.
Mm-hmm.
And how they show you the happy times and the depressing times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think it was awesome the way they did that. And even when you go to depressing times, all I can think of during that depressing moment, other than the awesome scene that you see with the plates,
that's what I thought
is say. It reminds me so much of the opening scene of High Fidelity.
Because he's talking about it.
He's just, it's it's really awesome.
That's another really good movie.
And I think for what it is, it's a 10 out of 10. But if you try to, like, show overall in film,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm sure I might nudge something over it because I like other kinds of movies better or whatever, but 10 out of 10.
No, I think it's a great film. I really liked, I told you about this the other day. There is almost like a ticker, and it guides you through the day that you're at, because this is a literal
500
this is literally 500 days of the girl's summer, and so it takes you from, you know, day 1 to day 100 back to day 50. It goes all over the place. But what I really liked about that ticker was that as the number got higher, as it went up to say 250 or 500 or whatever it was, and the times got a little more rough, you know, maybe there was a fight the night before or whatnot, the background to the ticker got much darker, and then as it pulled back towards the more happy times, it got lighter, and I thought that was kind of a little gimmick. It's a gimmick, I know, but I liked it. It was neat.
The little things.
Thank you very much. Another movie I watched this week was The Brothers Bloom. Ah, yes. I finally got to watch it because it is now officially at our rental place store. Thingy.
We saw it and we were just like, oh, take.
Yes. However, for some reason, I can't buy this.
Sean Dwyer in Canada has bought his copy because it's out in Canada for sale. So some people have arranged for buyings to be shipped out.
I love you, Canadians. Forget that.
And I think you can order it on the Canadian Amazon site. So go to amazon.ca and you can get it.
Okay. Canadians are now my best friends.
And I mean, that's still in region 1, isn't it?
It doesn't matter. Put it in my computer and it's region whatever I want it to be. But that movie, I enjoyed it. It definitely wasn't as good as Brick.
I think Brick
Johnson's
is a lot better.
Previous film. But I think it was still a decent movie. And one more thing I'd like to say. I'd probably like it much more if I hadn't just seen 500 Days of Summer.
Because you watched it the same night.
I think I did, yeah. I came home and I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch another movie that I really wanted to watch and just never came out. Brothers Bloom. And it, you know, I think if I watch it again, I like it a lot more. It definitely has a strong cast, strong acting, a good story, lots of fun moments. But I don't know, there was something missing there that was not missing in Brick.
Like, I watched it as well recently because I just stole the DVD and went like, must watch. I really like this movie, but as you said, Brick, better film. I spotted the Brick cameos.
Yes, I saw Gordon Levitt
dancing
around in the club.
The girl whose name I don't remember, the girl who played Laura in Brick, she's in the opening of the film as well. You see, herein lies my problem with the film. It's the same thing with Assassination. I didn't feel like I got to know what these characters were about immediately, like when they started out. Like, the opening scene with them as children was really cool. And that really set up the whole no ladies thing. The reason why Brody doesn't want to have women as marks.
Yeah.
Which,
by the way, you don't find out until halfway through the movie. No, I wasn't saying that to say, oh, you spoiled it. No, I was just saying that the way you said that just kind of made me realize, boy, they really took a long time to get to that.
Yeah, because they were dealing with their own stuff. Actually, it wasn't that long into the movie.
No, it was probably
just felt like a long while because there were stuff in between which were slowed and everything.
Yeah.
I loved Devon Aoki. I think that's her who plays Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her. Brody was awesome. I love Rachel Weisz. But my main problem for this film is I think it deserves a second watch. Because
yeah,
it's the kind of thing where you figure out what's happening at the 90-minute mark. You figure out exactly what's being done later in the film that you want to.
Can I tell you that the whole way through, I was like, I bet you this is a con on the brother. I bet you. bet you.
But it wasn't... It was a con on the... Oh, man, I don't want to say it. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone.
Yes.
You know, who was in such a position as myself to be unable to watch this in the theaters.
Right, so I guess what we will say is this is a con movie. It is a good con man movie. but could have been better. Ryan Johnson, you have done better, but I love you still.
Yeah, still awesome. And especially, I like the lightheartedness of it.
Yeah, yeah. And Mark Ruffalo is awesome.
Yes, he is.
I don't know what it is about him, but in every movie, I just love him. He's
can a cool I ask, dude. Because I didn't look it up, and I'm just whatever. Who played Diamond Dog?
Diamond Dog. Oh, I don't know.
Because for some reason I was looking at him and thinking Kevin Kline for a second or two.
I don't think so.
Let me look it up now. You talk about what you're going to talk about.
Well, what was I going to talk about? Nothing really. I've seen The Brothers Bloom, like I just said. There was 500 Days, another movie that I was forced to watch. The Surrogates I saw this
week. Oh, wait. Just Bang yes. Bang isn't played by Devon Aoki. I'm totally wrong. It's played by this woman called Rinko Kikuchi. Just as a correction.
Yes, Miss Coochie.
And Diamond Dog is played by this guy, Maximilian Schell.
Schell, okay. Don't know who he is, but I'm sure you will tell me very soon. But yes, I did watch The Surrogates. I did not really like it. I read a couple articles where people did, and I wonder why. It was kind of lame. Bruce Willis was probably the best part of that movie, and he wasn't that great in it anyway, because his character was kind of annoying. But so was most of the film.
You see, the problem with that movie is it had a good idea.
Did it, though? It was exactly what, you know... But it
never gave up on that idea. Like, it started out with this science fiction-y idea, and so a thing that people have been talking about for a while, which is the anonymity that people get through this surrogacy, and what people have today through the internet. Like, do people deserve this anonymity? And it had the science fiction setting to go through this and deal with this problem, deal with this idea. But then it decided, no, I'm just going to give a detective story, which is really lame.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's all it was. It's weird little... All it is that it's this... to tell you the truth, I don't think the premise is that mind-blowing. I know it's an old book, and so maybe back in the day it was. But... right now, like currently, when I see the trailer for this film, I'm like, oh, it's a bunch of robots that you get to do crazy stuff in, yay. And then life is threatened as they know it, and then you know, you have to see what's going down. But that's not anything special, I don't think. Also, a funny thing that you pointed out, apparently. There's one man that makes all robots because he makes robots in The Surrogates and he makes robots in iRobot, so...
And like, he doesn't like them as well.
Well, no, he likes them in iRobot. He just... Yeah, he does. Will Smith doesn't like robots in iRobot. He has a special friend robot, the creator guy, just because... His big robot.
Can we spoil iRobot then?
His big robot gets crazy. Yes, I just spoiled it anyway.
Alright. iRobot, just spoilers. Spoilers for iRobot if you haven't seen it. It's a bad movie. You see, here's the thing with iRobot, he creates the robots, he creates the machines. They become awesomer than he ever thought. He realizes, I want a mulligan. So he dives out of his window and dies, which is the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
All in order to set in motion this whole thing so as to bring down the robots.
And where did you get that he hates them?
Because he wanted a mulligan. He said no, bad idea.
Here's what happened. That's not what happened. He needed to do this. Because this one super robot, he realizes that his super robot has said, holy crap, the best way for me to save humans is to pin them in cages. And he's just like, not down with that. So he realizes there's only one way to fix it, which is to die so that the super duper Will Smith detective can figure out what's going on. So it's not that he hates the robots. He actually quite likes this one robot that he has. And I'm sure he has no ill will to any of his other robots. It's just this one big super robot that he has a problem with. And I'm sure it's more of an ideological problem. Like, say, I would prefer if you did not pen me up in a cage, you know, as opposed to, you're a she bitch and I hate you. No, and yeah, you see? Big difference there.
Bah. Both bad movies.
That is true.
Anything else you saw this week you want to mention?
I'm sure there are, but I can't remember. I'd like to say that I have been watching Bored to Death and I am slowly but surely getting hooked.
I still stick with my thought that the first episode was alright, the second and the third were amazing.
You see, for me, the first episode was I was unsure of. The second one was a bit better, but nah, still not great. The third one I thought was pretty decent. Maybe I have a higher standard than you, Andrew. That's what it is.
Go watch Buffy.
Like I said, higher standard. So I guess we can talk about our top five films.
Yeah,
heist
we're
films.
We're going to be doing our top five heist films. And I'm gonna go first.
No, I'm gonna go first.
Only if you promise.
Only if I promise not to take a movie that we're not allowed to talk about?
We are allowed to talk
about it. We're not allowed to talk about it.
Alright, go ahead.
Let's go to the phones. People, are we allowed to talk about Quentin Tarantino films? I'll take your silence as a no. Thank you very much. Okay.
Alright, you go ahead. You're first. Top five heist films.
My top five heist films. Well, I don't know if this is actually my top five. It's almost like in High Fidelity. He says, boy, my top five today is probably going to be a different...
No, yeah, it's something it's something I believe in, because whenever someone asks me, like, what's your favorite movie, like, today and tomorrow are two different answers.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I mean, even if I go The Godfather and Apocalypse Now, which I've both seen, today I'll say The Godfather, tomorrow I'll say Apocalypse Now. Depends on my mood.
Exactly. Okay, so I arranged up a list, no particular order. The first is A Fish Called Wanda. Very funny film. John Cleese at his finest, actually, not his finest.
Wait, but, no, I can't show you because you laugh.
But a really good John Cleese film. Wonderful.
I think I have that in my honorables.
Oh, yeah. Ken!
Well, what was that in the middle again? I missed the middle. Yeah, moving on.
Alright, there's another one called Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
But is that a heist?
What do you mean, is that a heist? They go, the heist is them trying to get the weed and the money from the guys who are trying to get the weed and the money from the other guys who then, that's a heist.
But that all starts from the whole losing money at the table.
So what you're saying is that there's no such thing as a heist movie, because you cannot be a heist movie if there is a reason for the heist.
No. When I think about Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, the core of the film to me is not the actual heist.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there is a heist in the movie is just out there. I wouldn't categorize it as a heist movie, is what I'm trying to say. It does have a heist at one point in the film. That's like saying if there's a joke in a drama, it's a comedy.
You know what that's like saying? That Disturbia is better than Real World.
So I have no say.
No say. I'm sorry, dude. This is a heist film.
Moving on.
But as is Snatch, not... So a lot of people actually put Snatch in as a heist film. I personally, I kind of have your view on Snatch that you have on Lockstock.
Well, I'd be more willing to give it to Snatch.
Really?
Than Lockstock, because Snatch, everything starts out with the fact that they heisted the diamond.
Yeah, but the thing about Snatch is that everybody that's involved in this heist doesn't know they're in a heist. Right? I mean, most of the stuff that happens in Snatch is bumbling around.
Yeah.
As opposed to Lock, Stock, where there is some bumbling, yes, of course, lots of it. But they actually take a decision. They say, I am going to plan something. I'm going to pull off a robbery or a thievery of high proportions. Right? As opposed to Snatch, where, yes, there's the robbery in the first second, but then everything after that is la 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 la, walk around. What the hell is this? Is this a diamond?
No, whoa. You see.
And then there's somebody else that walks around and gets a dog, and then all of a sudden the dog has a diamond in
it. Yeah.
You know,
so just like Snatch, I wouldn't call it a heist film. What I'm saying is I'd rather call that a heist film than Lock, Stock.
Disturbio.
Moving on, anyways, your list.
Right, my list. Another movie that I just adore, and again, I've actually spoken about this film a few times, is The Score. Robert De Niro and Edward Norton. Fantastic, you know. This is a movie that I can watch day in, day out, even though I know it's not that great a film. It's just so cool to look at. Another movie, another heist film is Die Hard.
Oh, that one's on my list. I was hoping I could get that one.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. yes, a film that actually, it took me a while I was thinking of, I was thinking about this, and it took me very long to come up with Die Hard, because for some reason, I don't actually see it as a heist film. Because
it's an action movie.
Not just an action movie. A lot of heist films are action movies. But I usually, when I think about Die Hard, I think about it from McLean's perspective. I think about it as a cop film.
Like, shit's going down.
Exactly. But then, you know, you have to realize
that. You forget the fact that it's actually the only reason it's happening is they're heisting the place.
But not just that. It's not just that it's a reason for the movie to happen, because I don't believe that just because this is the reason for the movie to happen, that that is what the movie is about. Throughout the movie, they actually show you exactly what's going on. You see the plan in its most intricate form, down to its details, and you think, these guys really thought this thing through.
Yeah.
You know? So there is the heist portion to it as well.
Okay.
And my fifth movie is The Thomas Crown Affair. And stop.
The old
stop.
One or the new one?
Exactly, that's what I'm about to say. Before you tell me, no, Pierce Brosnan, listen, I'm talking about Steve McQueen here, okay?
I still haven't watched that one.
I have it downstairs.
I know, but I don't ever go down to watch it.
It's a pretty decent film. I enjoy it. And I will share that enjoyment with you.
One of these days.
One of these days. However, I have a few honorable mentions.
No, hold off. We'll get to them after my list.
All right.
Nice list, by the way, I applaud.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, my list probably will get a couple laughs, but but this is what I have come up with. Alright, number 5 on my list is Soderbergh's Ocean's 11. No,
wait, stop.
Mm-hmm.
What's so wrong about Frank Sinatra's Francis?
I don't like it
Ocean
at all.
11.
I don't like it at
you
all.
You don't like Francis?
I don't like Frank.
What? I'm sorry, I'm just messing with you. I don't really like that movie either.
Like, I mean, I watched it years after I'd seen the Soderbergh version. So, I think I'm partial to the what I saw first rule. You know, people have talked about this.
Yes.
Dependent on which version you see first, you might like that one more than the other.
And there's a lot of, you know, cred there. You know, it's true.
Yeah,
a little bit.
It happens. So, I love this movie. I love everything about it. I love the heist. I love the characters. Matt Damon, Brad Pitt's character who never stops eating. George Clooney's character, Don Cheadle, makes funny jokes. It's an awesome movie, and people need to watch this. And I still stand up for the sequels, both of them. They're really good films. Not as good as the first, but really awesome. Number 4 on my list is last year's. It's last year, right?
What?
JCVD.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still haven't seen that film. And I think it's a little bit longer than last year, isn't it?
I think it's last year. Because we're just feeling long because now it's October.
I suppose, so yeah.
And it's been so long, yeah.
So when you say last year, you think 1 year, but it could really be almost two. You're right. Yes.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, I never thought he would make an awesome movie like this. This movie is amazing. It's hilarious, it's dramatic, it's beautiful to watch. I don't know why I don't have this on Blu-ray yet. Number 3 is Heat, the Michael Mann film.
I would punch you in the face for stealing that one from me.
Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. The reason why people thought Righteous Kill could have been a good movie, because as soon as they saw the names in the poster, they were like, oh, those dudes from that awesome movie.
Really and truly, it's a good enough reason, Andrew. What? Can you really wrong anybody?
No, I can't. But then again, they all watch Tyler Perry movies. That movie's really amazing, and just to watch, just if Michael Mann had just shot the robbery scene itself alone, the movie would have been worth it.
P.S. I did not know. Wait, which one is the next one? Is it?
I'm about to tell you.
Is it the one with the short, funny, bald man, or is it the one with that's just kind of lame and has gold bars?
Part two.
Okay. Alright, that one was kind of lame.
So can I tell them what it is now?
Yes, you can. But I thought it was another one with Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell is in that.
Oh, so then it's the good one. The one with the short, bald little man.
Both of them have gold and a short, bald man.
There's no short, bald little man in the crappy one.
Alright, what is the... Hold on, let's get this all... Hold on, this is very confusing. Number two on my list is the David Mamet film, Heist, starring Gene Hackman, Danny DeVito, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, that's the one. That's a good one.
Yeah, okay. What is this bad one you're talking about?
There's this really bad one with... Gene Hack... Wait a second.
Are you...
Wait a minute.
This is kind of stupid.
No, sorry. I am thinking... You are talking about the bad one. Yeah. Yeah, there's another one that doesn't have Sam Rockwell.
Does it? But it has Gene Hackman and Danny DeVito. And it's high school.
No, it has Gene Hackman, the short... funny little man with the bald head.
Danny DeVito.
No, you idiot. If I knew his name, I would not be calling
him. Well, I thought you were just being funny.
No. he's, you know who he is? Well, then you don't watch this movie as often as I do, though. In Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, he is the presenter that speaks at the police. The police function about marijuana.
I know the scene. I don't know the person.
Oh, he was on Evening Shade. If you remember that show with Burt Reynolds. But whatever. That movie was awesome. The David Mamet film, not so much. I'm sorry.
I really liked it. I really liked the heist involved. I mean, I've watched a few David Mamet films, and I like most of them.
Yeah,
he's a really cool guy, especially his writings. Did you read the news item about his Anne Frank project?
That it got dropped
because it was too dark.
Come on, it's Disney. Disney made Pretty Woman from a film into what it is. Okay, actually, no, I shouldn't really say that. Pretty Woman is a pretty cool movie,
but I heard it was supposed to be really raunchy and stuff. And my number one film, I don't care what you have to say, is Reservoir Dogs.
We're not allowed to talk about Quentin Tarantino.
We're allowed to talk about Quentin Tarantino.
We lifted that rule because he brought out a new movie, but that rule now gets put right back on.
We've never spoken about it.
It's made today.
Alright, well, after this, I have to be able to say... Quentin Tarantino, I think I've mentioned, is my favorite director and writer of all time. Reservoir Dogs is my favorite film of his of all time. I love the dialogue in all of his movies, and this movie is special. The music in it is special. No one can watch this film and ever hear that song Stuck in the Middle with You ever again and not think of someone's ear getting cut off.
Oh, actually, I don't think of somebody's ear getting cut off.
What do you think of?
I think of Michael Madsen dancing with the straight razor. That's what I think of.
I hear you, Aaron, about Reservoir Dogs being overrated, but you see, unfortunately, when I actually got to see Reservoir Dogs was before I was reading blogs and talking to people about movies, and I was still in my little bubble of movie love.
And it is overrated, though, I have to say.
I guess it's good, but overrated. I would agree with someone if they were listening to podcasts all the while and hadn't seen it and eventually got around to it and were like, eh. Because that's how we are about certain movies. Because when we read about people reviewing films, like, think about The Brothers Bloom. Think about that without all the 9 and 10 out of 10 reviews out there.
Well, to tell you the truth, I would still be disappointed because this is the same man that did Brick.
But you wouldn't be as disappointed as you are now.
Maybe.
You know, it's the thing of movies. If someone finds a movie awesome, people are going to... going to gloat about it and fawn over it, and then you'll watch it and you'll be like, is that all they love? So yeah, I get you if you think it's overrated, but it's not that it's... I loved it, I fell in love with it, and I still love watching it today.
Okay, Quentin Tarantino, end.
Oh, just because I can't end this here, no. What? Okay, what? Aaron in the chat room has said, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, and Inglourious Basterds are all better movies than Reservoir Dogs.
Alright, boss, I will agree with you on Pulp Fiction and Inglourious Basterds, but Jackie Brown, come on. Really and truly, that's the only Tarantino film that I still... Like, if somebody says, let's go watch Jackie Brown, I shiver. I get...
Let's go watch Jackie Brown. Alright, moving on. We want to get into honorable mentions. What honorable mentions did you have for you?
Well, honorable mention number one, another Bruce Willis film. Hudson Hawk.
I totally forgot about that movie. I love that movie.
This movie has got a really bad rap. I see a lot of people
hating on it. No, it's a bad 80s movie.
It kind of is, but it's so fun and hilarious. Probably not meaning to be. I think it is meant to be. It is meant to be funny. But yeah, like, I think some of it, it's just really funny.
Can I tell you, so I really love when Bruce Willis is singing that song.
Which one?
I Want to Be a Fish.
Okay, that one.
Whenever he's singing songs in the movie, I really like it.
They use it, which is ridiculous.
As timing.
They use it to time their heists.
They know perfectly the timing of these songs. They're like, track 2, side 2 of Beethoven, 8 minutes, 7 seconds. Start humming. It's a really awesome movie.
Yeah. And now, I'm getting into a couple of movies that I want to say as honorable mentions, but for the same reason we were saying before, not quite a whole heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, my first honorable mention, Trainspotting. There is a bit of thievery in that one. Come on. Cocaine.
I kicked that one out. No, that's not happening. Not happening at all. Apparently you don't know what a heist movie is.
Okay, I just really wanted to say that Trainspotting is an awesome film. But one movie that I'm sticking to my guns on, right? No, this is not a heist of money per se, but this is a heist. This is a film where these two characters, they try all night. They put into motion their plans to get this treasure, right?
Do they steal it?
Actually, some might say they do, because they do not pay for it.
But it was paid for.
This is Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
And this part of the podcast shall be edited out. Moving on.
Harold and Kumar. Come on, Andrew. Come on.
No.
The whole night is...
Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
The whole night is them planning to get White Castle. They ride a cheetah.
And Neil Patrick Harris steals their car and puts love stains in the back seat.
Well, that's, you know, things like that happen on heists, okay? That's why you bring Kleenex and baby wipes. All right.
Anything else that you'd like to mention?
Not much. I mean, I guess I'd throw Brothers Bloom in there just for kicks.
Yeah, all right.
Because it's a pretty decent film, and it is heist-ish.
Heist-esque-ish.
Yeah.
Like borderline. All right.
No. There's heist.
There is heisting, yeah, but it's a con movie.
That's what the heist is. What was Ocean's 11? Ocean's 11 was a con. A bunch of cons, actually. That then formed one really big heist. Ta-da!
Logic. My honorable mentions, you've already mentioned A Fish Called Wanda and Die Hard in your list.
Awesome.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
That doesn't count. You cannot... Listen, if I wanted to make a list and I was like, you know what? My top five are Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12,
no,
Ocean's 13. Come on.
Yeah, I would have allowed you because they're all heist movies. But I even mentioned them in my list saying they're good, but no, not in my list. The Inside Man, which I just got on Blu-ray and I can't wait to watch again.
I figured you were going to put that one in there.
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, the original with Robert Shaw and Walter Matthau, not the new one with Travolta and Denzel. That movie's awesome. And yeah, that's all I have.
That's all I have.
People need to see the original to that movie, Taking a Pelham. It's a really awesome movie.
Does he kill any sharks?
No, there are no sharks. Anyways, moving on. That was nice. News this week. Wedding Crashers director is preparing to do the National Lampoon sequel. New film.
Well, not quite a sequel. Almost like a sequel to the original Vacation or something like that was what I got from the article that I read.
I haven't read it.
But the thing about it is National Lampoon is actually not going to be involved, or so they say, which a lot of people, I'm sure, would say that's a good thing, because a lot of the movies that they've come out with recently have been fairly poor.
I think they should just call it Vacation and not National Lampoon, so that people don't think about all the bad ones.
Yes. And so what do you think about this, by the way?
I'm not a huge National Lampoon fan.
Yeah, but the Vacation series, what about those? You didn't like them?
I didn't really care for them. Like, I've seen some of them, but
Christmas Vacation is one of my most favoritest movies.
Yeah, you keep talking about
I love that film.
I never really sit down to watch it properly. And well,
that's
really
why you don't think
like,
it's good.
As soon as I think of National Lampoon Vacation, I think of Vegas Vacation.
That's because you're stupid and you watch that one. Okay? Vegas Vacation is old people trying to make money again. Okay?
I thought you were going to say old people trying to get into heaven.
No, because that's a Bill Cosby joke. It's just old people trying to be funny again, and it doesn't work. However, watch Christmas Vacation, my all-time favorite, but that's only because I watched it first. Vacation, the original, is probably much better and much funnier. I do love it. But it's still, Christmas Vacation holds a warm place in my heart. Okay,
I'm sure.
And there's also European
Chevy Chase
Vacation,
needs work.
Which is pretty good. Chevy Chase doesn't need to be in it, to tell you the truth.
They can start with the children.
Yeah, that's actually what these guys were hypothesizing in the article, that they were saying that what's going to happen is actually it's the son, Rusty, that takes his family.
Yeah, that's what they say here in Film Junk. As the article, this time around, the story will focus on the next generation of the Griswold, with Clark's son, Rusty, taking his own family on a road trip. Both Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo could reprise their roles as the elder Griswolds, although they have not actually signed on as of yet.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I mean, with National Lampoon out of the mix, this might be good, because to tell you the truth, the most recent good movie from them, and I don't know.
Van Wilder.
Exactly, Van Wilder.
The first one. Let's make it clear.
I didn't actually watch the second one.
I watched the second one.
It was bad.
It was bad.
Okay, but the first one was funny. It was my introduction.
Because it was
Ryan Reynolds. Yes.
Ryan Reynolds is a funny dude. I think Ryan Reynolds is one of the most, the best actors out there today. Because
stop. What did you just say? No. Don't get me wrong, I love Ryan Reynolds to death, but what did you just say?
I think he's one of the better actors of today.
No, that's not what you said. That's not what you said, and even that is pushing it. But you said, and I quote, I think he is the best actor
of
today. One of the best.
Let's make this clear.
So are you saying that he's on par with, say, I don't know, Matt fucking Damon?
Well, I mean, he could definitely cry and say, where's my fucking check? As well as Matt fucking Damon.
Ryan Reynolds is a fun guy to watch. But, you know, you look at him and you laugh. You look at him and you say, oh, what's this romantic thing? You know, proposal. He's funny with Sandra Bullock. Ooh, look, he's Deadpool. Actually, he was sucky as Deadpool.
I liked him as Deadpool.
No, you sucked. And you're going to probably suck as Green Lantern, but I'll give you a chance.
He was awesome in Waiting.
Waiting. Yeah, he was awesome in Waiting for the 10 minutes he was in.
He was awesome in the 10 minutes he was in of Harold and Kumar, one of your honorable mentions. He's awesome in a lot of movies. And I really like him, and I think he will
become... Okay, remind me. Where was he in Harold and Kumar?
He was in the surgery.
Oh, yes, 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 right, right.
He's like, why do you want marijuana? Anyways, moving on.
Actually, Ryan Reynolds should play Rusty. That would be fantastic.
You're saying yes to Vacation coming back?
I'm saying not no. I'm saying let's see what happens. This director proved that he can do funny with Wedding Crashers, because I know your stance on it, but I really love that movie. Wedding Crashers is really funny.
Wedding Crashers is on and off for me. Good joke here, bad joke there.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So the director, yay, the fact that Vacation is coming back and it's not going to be this... Well, I don't know what it's going to be, but the Vacation aspect of it, as opposed to any of the other Lampoon movies, I'm happy about that. I am a bit hesitant, seeing as the last Vacation movie that came out fairly recently, within the last 5 years, I think, and it was Christmas Vacation 2, and the lead was Randy Quaid, cousin What's the Hell His Faces. I don't think that one was very good. I didn't try to watch it, but it didn't. I saw the cover of the DVD, as did I see the cover of the Sandlot 2 DVD, which is another story completely. But both movies did not want to watch.
Can I tell you, I tried to watch The Singing Detective this week.
So did I.
I watched 15 minutes and turned it off.
I said the same exact thing. Remember, I came outside and I was like, Andrew, not watching the rest of that film.
And as soon as I said that on Twitter, one person said, oh my god, how dare you, that movie is awesome, you have to try. The next person said, oh my god, yes, that movie is terrible. And the third person said, oh, thanks, I was thinking about renting it, I guess I won't know.
Yeah.
I guess I might try again one of these days, but it'll have to wait for now. Another news item that came out this week is the Richard Pryor biopic. Eddie Murphy is going to be replaced by Marlon Wayans to play Richard Pryor. Any thoughts?
It could have been good with Eddie Murphy. It cannot be good with Marlon Wayans. Thought ended.
I actually think Marlon Wayans can do good with this. I mean, I was more scared about having Eddie Murphy do this, because as much as we know Eddie Murphy's relationship with Richard Pryor, and he is a good actor, I'm kind of not thinking that Eddie Murphy is willing to go outside of his kiddie, his children... persona that he's created for himself today, after all of these years of kicking away the Beverly Hills Cop.
That's not a valid reason.
And Marlon Wayans, he really is a funny guy, and he's a good actor. You saw him in Requiem.
Oh, I saw him in Requiem 10 years ago. What has he done since?
All right, let me look this up so that I have some.
He did G.I. Joe. Yes, really good acting there. He did Dance Flick. He did White Chicks. He did... What the hell else has he done? Scary Movie 1 through 5. What the hell has this man done to garner any sort of respect? Nothing, I tell you. Nothing. Now listen, Eddie Murphy...
He was in The Lady Killers and he was good in that. I liked him. I didn't like the film, but he was good in that movie.
What else?
And then the next one was Requiem.
Exactly! No, listen to me. Eddie Murphy.
What's this behind the smile?
I don't know, but shut up. This Eddie Murphy guy, right? It doesn't matter that he had a relationship with the man. I don't care about that. That's not why he would be good for this film. He would be good for this film because he has shown that when he wants to, he can do an okay job of acting. He has shown that he can clearly imitate this man to the T. Because if you have ever watched Delirious or Raw, you will see that he does some very good impersonations of the man. But this thing that you're saying about how you don't think... You didn't want him to be in the movie because he clearly... is keeping with his children thing. If he's in the movie, he's in the movie. There's something called a script. You must read from it. You must do what the script says. If the script says, oh, you have to say a naughty word, he can't say to them, no, I think this should be a children's movie.
No, I get you, and I understand that. That as soon as he signed the paper, he's forced to have to do it.
Duh, right? Exactly.
But it's kind of like, let's take for example the Pink Panther.
Uh huh.
One of our favorite films.
Uh huh.
You do know that it wasn't a comedy when Peter Sellers signed on, right?
You sure about that?
Yeah. It's a documented fact.
Is it documented that Peter Sellers is not the first Pink Panther? And that that Pink Panther was also a comedy? So are you sure?
That Pink Panther was not a comedy.
With either Alan Arkin or Alan Alda. Well, Alan Arkin, I think, was the first Pink Panther.
See here in the trivia on IMDb for The Pink Panther, it says here, the film was intended to have David Niven's character of Sir Charles Lytton as the main character. However, Peter Sellers' portrayal of Inspector Clouseau was so loved by the crew and later by audiences, it became the character in the film and the sequels focused on. So it wasn't supposed to be that character in the movie.
So you're saying it was supposed to be another movie and then became the Pink Panther film, as opposed to the Pink Panther never being a comedic film?
Yeah. So when Peter Sellers stepped on set and did a bit as the Pink Panther, they immediately said, no, we have to stop. We have to rewrite this movie. It is now Peter Sellers.
How can you do a movie about a man who got himself embroiled in flames while making cookies a children's film?
I don't know. But I don't put it past people to go through stages of rewrites because Eddie Murphy doesn't want to ruin the image that he has today.
You can't make a movie about this guy without making it R-rated, at least. It's just not possible.
Whatever.
But
yeah. I have high hopes for this. I have high hopes for Marlon Wayans in this role.
Maybe. I don't know, but there is no maybe. Marlon Wayans is going to be awful if he actually does remain to do this. Letting you know.
Anyways, moving on. X-Men Origins. There, Rebecca Romijn Stamos, who played Mystique in the X-Men films.
Is she still Romijn Stamos?
I don't know. I'm just calling her that.
I think she's Romijn again.
I have no clue.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just calling her that because that's what I know. She's apparently been saying that she thinks Mystique deserves her own origin film. I mean, this summer we were treated to one of the worst films of the year called Wolverine. and I think Magneto is to come next year or in a couple of years. What do you think about Mystique having a film, and which character of out of the X-Men folklore would you want to see an origin film for?
I'm not really interested, to tell you the truth.
Like, not at all?
No, not at all. Not one bit.
Like, I mean, even if they threw out all the films that you don't like, I mean, and they just did it based off of the comics, which we grew up on, we kind of liked.
No, that's true. I did kind of like it, but at the same time, I just don't really care. I don't need to see an X-Men film, and the films that have come around have all been pretty bad. I mean, the first one I didn't really like, the second one I thought was okay, and then all the others are all just rubbish. So, I don't know, it doesn't really matter to me. You give me, you know, you can make whatever you want to make. I'm not going to watch it, more than likely.
It says he who was in line for the first day of the Wolverine.
No, said he who was forced to go in line on the first day of Wolverine.
Yeah, I had a gun to your back, didn't
I? Yeah,
you
did.
Like, when I think about it, I do think Mystique is one of those better characters who has one of the cooler powers. Like, the ability to change into whoever, that's really cool and can be made into a cool movie. but to be honest with you, I'm more interested in seeing a Magneto origin, in seeing a Storm origin. Storm would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's not Wolverine, not Rogue, because Rogue is dealt with in the film itself. Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler would have a cool origin, I think. And I always liked Juggernaut. I always did. I don't know how that will work, but... And, of course, there's the fan favorite, Gambit.
Yeah. There are all of those guys, but I just... You know, it doesn't really make me want to watch that. Not at all.
It doesn't do what...
Nothing that they have done so far...
It doesn't do what Hank Moody tells you to do, which is just write what makes your dick hard.
Exactly, and it just... I didn't have a partial there, come on.
Oh, I love that show. Alright, I don't think there's any other news I found this week that was anywhere interesting. Did you see anything that you want to talk about?
I did see something. I haven't read the full article though, but a movie that we've been longing to watch for a very long time, Black Dynamite, is going to become animated.
I haven't read... Alright, they said... I read a little bit about this. They said that it's going to spawn an animated series, or they're trying. I don't know if it's official. We haven't seen the movie, but what kind of animated show would this be? Because, I mean, we've seen the Red Band trailer, and our greatest joke ever, don't wake, be quiet, you'll wake the other ladies, kind of stuff.
The greatest joke ever is, I am smart.
And... Like, why would they animate that? Because, I mean, we already have South Park. What other raunchy animated show do we need? And if they're going to make it into a children's friendly version of that trailer...
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't really care. It's Black Dynamite.
It must be mentioned.
It must be mentioned. Thank you very much.
So nothing else on the week?
No, nothing else on the week. Damn it, they're developing a Get Smart 2. I'm going to kill somebody.
I didn't mind that movie.
Because you're the spawn of the devil.
I mean, it was funny. Come on.
What?
It was funny.
At no point did I even chuckle. None whatsoever. It was horrid.
I mean, it might have helped that I got a seat for free.
Yeah, probably. And wasn't it right after Dave?
No, we watched Dave after it.
Oh, you watched Meet Dave next. Okay, well, it still sucked.
Yeah. Anyways, I liked it. It was a fun movie. Okay, moving into trailers.
Alan Arkin played Inspector Clouseau in 68. That's not before 63. Why did I think he was before?
Alright, trailers this week. We took a week off, so I think what we could do is we could talk about A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I'm having these dreams. And he's burnt.
Don't fall asleep.
I have to say, I like it.
What's this, The Nightmare Before Elm Street? The Nightmare on Elm Street?
You're totally here.
I am. It's just, you know, once I say Nightmare, I'm so used Christmas. To saying Before Christmas that I say that.
Because that's an awesome movie.
It is.
I think it looks really cool. I love especially the opening bit with... Freddy Krueger running down the street and getting burned, and you see his red and white striped shirt under his jacket. Like, I hope that they pay a decent amount of time in the film on him before he was killed, before he became the monster. Because I kind of want to know about that one. I mean, I don't remember a lot of the original film, other than a couple of the kills, and Johnny Depp was in it.
Yeah.
But... I don't know if they ever really gave any attention to him before he was the monster.
Not in the first one, really. You find out later on in some of the sequels kind of what happened, which is in keeping with what this trailer is showing you.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that they didn't say that he claimed that he didn't do anything. But why would they? They're an angry mob. They didn't even hear that. So... I don't know if I agree with you fully that I'd really like to see them do a lot with the before piece. But
like no,
at the same time, let me finish everything. I don't know if I agree, but at the same time, I'm open to them doing something. I'm not sure if it would work, if it would flow, but if they can, then it would be really fun. I don't really want to see, because a lot of the things that like reboots do, they tend to look at it from another angle because they have to, as opposed to doing something because it works well in the film. You know, sometimes you feel you have to come from another angle and then it turns out to be not so great just because you're forcing it, as opposed to, you know, doing what's right given the context of whatever is going on. So if they can do that, if they can make it work in the context and it's awesome, then I'm all for it. But don't, you know, try too hard.
Well, I mean, I don't expect them to make it a 50-50. I don't expect them to spend half of the movie on him before and him as a monster the other half. I know it's a Freddy Krueger film. We're going to get at least 80% him doing madness in dreams. And just seeing some of those things in the movie with, like, when the girl is walking in her dream and you see the snow, like, that looks really cool. And, of course, the bathtub one. You see his hand come up in the bathtub to get the girl, like... It looks like they're going to have some awesome kills in this movie.
They've clearly got a repeat one as well.
Yeah,
because they've got the one with the lady floating above the bed.
Yeah, I guess. But this is from the same studio and produced by Michael Bay, who gave us the reboot Friday the 13th, which you saw earlier this year. And I wasn't happy with that movie.
Yeah, but guess what? That doesn't really mean anything. The studio... What does the studio do? The studio pays them money... They get the dailies. Maybe they'll say this sucks or this doesn't suck, and they'll have them change things. But the studio, I don't know if I'd say that that's a major issue for me. I don't really care. You know, this could be the same studio that gave me the worst movie ever made. As long as the trailer looks nice, I'm gonna go watch it, because when it all ends up, it's the director and the editors and all of those guys that really count. Even though, yes, they'll get forced to do certain things that they don't want to
do. So the producer doesn't matter.
But no, I'm not saying the producer doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that if it's a good enough director, even if the producer is pushing him to do something, the director will do it in a way that is creative, and a way that works, and a way that is good, as opposed to just being like, okay, let's just throw in this, you know, pair of boobs.
More boobs. I'm with you in most cases, but I think that it actually matters in this case, because everything out of this studio has been horror reboots, more or less. They did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot. They did the Friday the 13th reboot. They're doing this one, and I think there's another one, but I can't remember.
Which studio is this? Is it Dark Castle?
I can't remember the name. All I know is it's Michael Bay's baby.
Oh, Michael Bay. Oh, I know which one this is then. Is it... They just got a deal with Paramount for a first look thing. What the hell is it? I just read it. I can't remember the name. Oh, well.
No. Platinum Dunes.
Platinum Dunes. That's what it is, yeah.
P. I was right. They also gave us The Unborn, which I hear is a bad movie. Amityville Horror, which people like, I think.
Yeah, that has Ryan Reynolds in it.
The Hitcher, which is a horrible movie.
That's Sean Bean.
Yeah, I watched this.
That's
it's awful, a bad movie. But yeah, they've given us a lot of bad horror films, and all of them have been reboots. So I am skeptical, kind of. One question I have for you is, what do you think of Freddy himself? We got a little glimpse of him, like his face. It looked a little more
smooth. I thought he didn't look
smooth.
Like Ben Foster.
But it's not Ben Foster.
Exactly, that's my problem.
Why?
Because Ben Foster was supposed to be Freddy. Not this Haley Joel Billy... What's his name?
His name is Rorschach. And he looked down and say no.
Actually, no. It would have been fun if like they got Ben Foster to do that. I remember they were talking about that early on. But to tell you the truth, I didn't really like what I saw of Freddy. You know, the claws along the side was kind of cool, but when you saw his face, I was just kind of like...
We did get a shadowy kind of look, so it wasn't a full...
Yeah, it's not a full-on. It's more of a profile, and a quick profile at that. But it wasn't really...
It looked really smooth.
Inducing.
It looked really smooth. it looked like it would be a sheet of plastic with a couple holes in it. Rather than the last Freddy, which was like really burnt skin madness.
Robert England.
Mm. You know, another trailer which came out that we saw was Red Cliff, the new John Woo film.
In a country shaken by years of civil war, a powerful warlord's quest for domination threatens all who stand in his way. Now, the destiny of an empire and the fate of millions will depend on the fight of a few.
The indie film.
Apparently it's an indie film. Who said that? Was that Billington?
It was Billington.
Billington! What are you talking about? Come on. Independent. That. Did you watch the trailer? You saw how many extras were in there? Did you see the fire and the flags and the...
What do you think about this?
No, that's not independent. Okay, what do I think about this? Who directs it again?
John Woo.
That's what I think about this. Awful. It's going to be bad. It has to be. You know why?
Why?
He's directed only one good film, and that film wasn't even really good. It's just... I like to watch it. Face Off. That's it. Nothing else.
I think John Woo has done some movies.
No, he's done... He did a lot of early stuff that people like that I haven't seen.
People of Hard Boiled.
Which one's Hard Boiled?
It's this kung fu movie with guns.
Oh, yeah, that's the old one. Yeah, I know that one. Right, exactly. Like, those old... But recently, let's say since Face Off, what has he done that's good?
Let's look. Face Off. 97. Then there's Black... Oh, that's a TV show. I kind of like that TV show. MI2 was crap. Wind Talkers was crap. Hostage was alright.
Ooh, Hostage. I forgot about that. With Bruce Willis.
Paycheck was
that
crap.
That was okay.
I don't know. The Invisible Children and Red Cliff is what we're talking about. So yeah, he's done most of crap since... There,
I thought Boomerang was after Face Off, though. It isn't. Didn't he direct that?
Boomerang?
Not Boomerang. What the hell? Broken Arrow?
No, that was before.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Do people like that movie? I haven't watched it.
No, but it got a lot of play because Travolta was in it and Christian Slater. I almost said Bale again.
Did a Van Damme movie.
Was in it.
Hard Target. Which I'm sure is bad because it's Van Damme.
It's JCVD. I thought you were just singing his praises.
Yeah, because he came to his senses. I actually really like this trailer. It looks really interesting. I think it might be because I tend to like all of these huge epic war movies.
You see, that's the thing. It looks like that, doesn't it? How sure are you that that's what this movie's about?
Well, how sure we are about anything. We complained about...
Because nothing really happens in this trailer. It's like, look at all of these people. And they are moving around.
What would you say about how Inglourious Basterds was advertised?
How was Glorious Bastards advertised?
And how it shaped up to the movie we actually saw.
It surprised me, but at the same time, I think that the trailer was informative enough. You knew essentially what was happening. And when you went to the movie, you're like, yes, this is what's happening. Makes sense. You know, this movie is just like, you see a lot of troops moving in their formations and waving flags.
That trailer for Bastards would not have told me to go and wear my glasses. It would not have told me that the Bastards are non-consequential.
They were
inconsequential.
Of course they were consequential.
Anyways, I don't want to get into a bastard's argument. I don't want to do that. We'll leave that for now. I'm interested. I want to watch this movie, Red Cliff. And I hope that I'll eventually get to. And it won't be dubbed. Please, don't dub it. Please remind all English people that they need to learn how to read. It's good for them. Pick up a book. Especially if it's a comic book.
Speaking of, when was the last time you read a book?
I'm reading No Country. I'm reading No Country. I'm like halfway through.
How about a book that's not a movie?
the Palahniuk book I read.
Before that. That's one book. Before that.
Preacher.
The comic book. The book for special people with drawings on it. I see. Okay.
With pretty right. pictures. Okay. Another trailer which hit this week. The Crazies with Timothy Olyphant.
I don't care what the calendar says. Opening day. That's the first day of spring. What's that?
Whoa. What the hell are you doing?
Rory? You lay that gun down.
David, you did the right thing.
Would you mind taking a look at Bill?
Sure, what's wrong?
I don't know. He's just not right.
She worries too much. I'm fine.
You got any plans this weekend?
She worries too much. I'm fine.
Hey, Ben. Ben.
I was pleasantly surprised by this trailer. I love Timothy Olyphant, but only more as a concept than an actual actor. Because
you like the idea of
I
Olyphant,
like the idea
but you
of
don't
Timothy
like Olyphant.
Exactly.
If you're ever listening to this podcast, I'd like you to explain what is the idea of you.
Listen, he can come on if he wants. Phone in, whatever, and I'll talk to him. I'll explain it to him, but I'll explain it here as well. Timothy Olyphant can do so well. He proved this in two films specifically that I've seen him in. One being Go, where he showed me a little bit that he could be this bad boy kind of guy that was really cool. And you could look at him and watch him and be like, ah, awesome. Then he brushed up his acting stuff and he went to The Girl Next Door. And he took what he started in Go and took it to the next level. And that was amazing. And I love him as that character. The side character that you like to watch, but he's kind of a douche. All of that good stuff. And generally, in most of his other movies, I don't really like either the movie or him. I've seen Dreamcatchers that he was in. Not very good. I saw Hitman.
He was in Dreamcatchers?
Yes, he was.
I like that movie.
That movie was kind of lame. Actually, to tell you the truth, he was the reason why I watched that movie all the way through, because I said,
really? I watched Timothy it for Olyphant Morgan Freeman and Stephen King.
No. I'm sorry, I learned a long time ago. Stephen King was awesome when I was 10. No, not so much. Anyway. I saw him also in Hitman, which, to tell you the truth,
wasn't... Yeah, that wasn't as bad.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad,
movie.
But still...
I liked him
really,
in it.
It don't really... Nah, whatever. But at the same time, I have to give him that Hitman was one of those films that got taken from the director and dumbed down. So maybe it was...
It was a video game
the
movie.
The great thing. Yeah, that too. Maybe it was a really good movie and he was really good in it. But the stuff that I've seen him in, I really...
You know what he's really good in? I've seen the first half of it, is Deadwood.
Right. People say that and I need to check that out. Because, to tell you the truth, Deadwood never really dragged me in. It hasn't made me want to watch it, except now for the fact that I know Timothy Olyphant is in it. And it's weird, because even though I'm saying all of these things about Timothy Olyphant not really carrying these movies that I've seen, I still, if I see him on a cast list, I'll be like, maybe I should watch that, because maybe he could do something special. And
but
why?
Ian McShane is in it.
I don't
and
care
he's
about
awesome
him.
In everything.
I don't care about him. He has a voice like this. That's all he has.
But that voice is awesome.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why King's lasted so long.
Timothy Olyphant's already
wait,
in also in Gone in 60 Seconds.
After, like, the third minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it still got to show the whole season, which was awesome. I'm really bummed out about that, honestly. Like, I like that show a lot. You should watch it, King's.
Maybe. But yes, you are right. He was in Gone in 60 Seconds. Again, another
bad movie.
Yeah. I loved it at the time. I watched it recently and I said, what was I thinking?
Yeah, well, the crazies, I'm not that impressed with this trailer.
I guess it's because you probably bought into the hype and you were like, whoa, what?
No, I told you, I didn't even know what this was before I clicked play.
Really?
Really.
Oh.
I like zombie movies as much as any other man, you know. I'm so happy that George Romero got a slap in the face when Danny Boyle came around and said zombies should be fast.
Technically, Danny Boyle didn't have zombies. They were diseased persons.
They're zombies. Okay. And if they're not zombies, then these people in crazies aren't zombies, because this looks like it's diseased people. I loved Dawn of the Dead, which is a Romero film.
Dawn of the Dead.
It was the one that was parodied for Shaun of the Dead. But Shaun of the Dead really just took from everything.
It just took from everything. It's just the name is.
They were
really
the same time as well. I love.
Is Dawn of the Dead the one with Ving Rhames in it? The newer version?
Yes.
That's directed by Watchmen folk.
Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, yes. That's directed by Zack Snyder.
Yeah, it was a really cool film.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was all that great.
I found it fun. And it wasn't anything amazing. But, you know, I had fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I love Planet Terror.
Of course you would. I wonder why. You find
it's a Robert Rodriguez
movie that's so clear. It shaves it. It reaches the cusp of breaking the rules just barely, and then you back off. I see how it is. Okay,
zombie movies are fun, but this movie, I don't know. It just doesn't rub me the right way.
He shot a man just to see him die.
You know what I think of? I think of Veronica Mars when you say that.
Why? That's Johnny Cash.
I know it's Johnny Cash, but there's this one episode I can't remember where she says that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Michael Cera episode.
Yes, Michael Cera.
And Michael Cera comes back with says, I shot a guy, but it wasn't just to watch him die. It was just because I'm bad like that. Yeah, it's fun. I'm not looking forward to the crazies. I say nay.
I say yay and smack you in the face. No, you say.
But I'm not George A. Romero.
Okay, so I guess that's it for our news and our trailers, and we now must talk about Rififi.
Rest. All the rest.
Tony, I've never forgotten you. Tony, don't!
Hey, watch your spine. Easy now. Hey, Bella Corta.
Wake up, dog. I want you to be afraid. How does it feel?
This weird old movie.
Damien suggested we finally talk about, because he's been at my ear about this movie for about a year, ever since Film Spotting did their heist marathon and he saw it. Rififi, this film in 1955, this French film about a heist, a diamond heist, a jewel heist. Do you want to start or me?
You know what was awesome about this movie?
What?
The part when we watched them dig for 5 minutes. That was awesome. They just dug. Just tup, tap, tap, tap. That digging. That's all that was.
I can smell your sarcasm.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is, that was my favorite part of the movie. The actual heist was particularly amazing, and this is the only saving of this film.
Let me see. Was it because in this well thought out and great plan to break into an extremely secure bank All they had to do was spray it with some white stuff, and then when the bell went off, you wouldn't really hear it, and then they just pull out the bell.
It's the 50s, Douglas. Why can you not get over this?
No, honestly, I'm just joking around. I actually really did like it. I like the movie. It's fun. However, the first half, I know you are the opposite. I didn't much like the first half. It was a bit...
The first half was about planning and executing the heist. The second half was about where they went wrong and the downfall of the team.
Exactly. But not only that, but the first half included a lot of stuff that they didn't need to include, I thought.
Like what?
Like what? I mean, there were just a lot of loose threads.
Anything you'd like to mention specifically so I can tell you you're wrong?
Specifically so you can tell me I'm wrong, okay? Wow. Well, you know, they're just... A lot of things that they just dwelled on. Like, it's not that everything they talked about was not necessary, but they talked about a lot of things for way too long. Or not talked about, but they focused on a lot of things for way too long, when they could have just focused on it a little bit quickly, or maybe even brushed over a certain thing, a few things, and gotten the points across the same way. However, I got to enjoying the film later on, and so overall I think this film is a pretty decent movie.
I'm still trying to hear what specifically it is. Like, can you mention which scene or what it is they were talking about? Or
all right, here's the thing. I can't mention it because I've put it out of my mind already. I remember my feelings on the movie. I don't remember many of the details. I remember feeling, jeez, this movie's kind of long. Why are they talking about this? I got the point already. Let's get going. But I can't actually say it was at minute 2 when he was speaking to the lady in distress where this happened. I can't, because I kind of put it out of my mind already.
I love the first half of this film when you saw, I think his name is Tom.
Is it? P.S. I could actually say that the heist itself Tony. Was one of those moments.
One of those moments, yes. Where it just went too long?
I didn't need to see them digging for 5 minutes. Because it wasn't that it was them doing the heist for 5 minutes. No, it was them digging through the ceiling for 5 minutes. That's what it was.
You see, here in line... Alright, I'll get to that. But I just want to start out with this. I enjoyed the first... It's Tony, the main guy who's been brought into this gang after being in prison for a while, and he's come out, and he pushes them past what they thought was a little easy crime into this huge intricate heist. And what I think was amazing was I looked up on Wikipedia to make sure, because as I do with these films that have been mentioned on Filmspotting, I went back and I listened to that episode and I listened to their review. Did you know that this film was banned in a lot of countries?
Because it showed you how to break.
Because it was honest. People actually did this. People recreated this heist in many countries and actually pulled it off.
So you're saying in the 1950s, all you really needed was a can of lubricant?
Security sucked back then.
Why don't I live in the 50s? God damn it, I'd be in and out of there in, what is it, a minute 45 seconds?
No, they took a few hours. And I think that's a really awesome thing to look back and see these things. As we watch, we've mentioned a lot of heist films, like Ocean's 11.
Oh man, that was so fake.
Not only was it so fake, but you could see where they purposely decided to put gaps in the heist so that you wouldn't think about it too hard to try and go and do this yourself. Because, I mean, I know after a lot of incidents, the filmmakers started to put that thing at the end where this is fiction, do not go and try this at home kind of stuff. But people will still do dumb shit all the while. You know, people watch Fast and the Furious and see a car do a wheelie and they'll try and do it with their car and then they'll blow it up and they'll die and want to sue the production company. You're like, we put it there at the end of the film.
They don't put that there in films.
Yeah, they do.
No, they say this is fiction. And if you look like anything that I have actually put in my film, then you can't sue me because it's just coincidence. That's what they put in.
I'm sure they put it there somewhere.
I don't think so.
I mean, remember the Superman story? There's a story of this child, like a really young child, like I'm guessing anywhere between 5 and 8.
Oh, you mean he jumped off at Niagara Falls?
No, who jumped out the window of his, like, where he lived, which was like an 8th floor apartment or some shit, because he thought he could fly because of Superman. And I think that, I remember people saying that that's when it started, when production companies started to put that stuff.
I've never seen that before in my life. I've seen that this is fiction, and if you have the same name and have done the same things that are in this movie, you can't sue us because it's just a coincidence. But I have never seen Don't Do This at Home.
Except for that bitch. Okay, anyways. A lot of the scenes in the first half were really cool. A lot of the dialoguing was really awesome, really fun between these four characters that you get to meet. Especially Mario. I love him whenever you see Mario with his wife. It's really cool, and you kind of have to laugh and say, oh, the French, sometimes.
I really didn't, you know, I read him incorrectly at first, which doesn't happen to me generally. I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised with him.
I loved when they went to the club and you heard the song Rafifi. That was an amazing song. Like, I want to find that song on a soundtrack somewhere.
Again, was that really necessary for us to go through the whole song?
Yes, it was, because
what did it do?
It told you what this movie was about. That it was about, that it made you understand that yes, it's a heist movie, but this shit's gonna go wrong and there's gonna be trouble, because that is Rafifi.
So they couldn't just do that by making it a heist movie where things go wrong?
Well, I think I get you. You could have taken it out.
I actually think that that song is pretty awesome, that's fine. But could that's have not one of those points where I was like, no, I don't want this to keep going. But
I'm with you. I understand. They could have edited it out and it wouldn't have hurt the film. But it's such a cool thing to add to the film. It's kind of like saying, watching, oh, you're going to shout at me, a Tarantino film where there are all of these extra things in there mentioning and pointing to other things that he could take out, but they're so cool to just add to the aesthetic of the film.
But you see, that's the thing, if it adds, some of it I don't think added really. Like, that song was fine, it added, it's cool. I'm not saying that is something that should have been taken out. I'm just, you know, playing devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. Could have been taken out and there would be nothing, you know, bad about it.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt anything that much. The actual heist, I think it's about 25 to 30 minutes long.
Which is ridiculous.
No dialogue.
Because, can I tell you, this bloody heist, listen. Alright, so let's say your estimate is correct. 25 to minutes to a half an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
The actual heist part of it, where they're in the bank and they deal with the alarm and then take out everything, lasts maybe 2.5 minutes. Everything else is them digging through the goddamn ceiling.
Well, I mean, it's not just them digging. It's them going out to steal the car, driving up, going up to the place, getting in, knocking out. I'm spoiling it all and I don't want to. And then they dig into the place and then he has to tiptoe across, and then they bring it's an amazing scene to watch, and it's something that's to be appreciated, because I mean, when last have you seen a film which tried something like that with no dialogue, just action for that long? And it was
the last time I saw a movie that tried that no dialogue thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wall-E, probably. That one failed.
I'll pull up the numbers and we'll judge who failed.
Numbers don't matter. Look at Tyler Perry.
Moving on.
One for Douglas.
In the end, I have to say I wouldn't go so far as to say I liked this movie,
Wait, sorry, what? After all of that praise, you don't like it?
Because, I mean, the second half, for me, I think falls apart. I would have preferred if this was a movie like an Ocean's 11, where in the end they got away clean, and they were just, like, awesome and everything. But I guess they would have had to gone the Ocean's 11 route, which was to vilify the people they were stealing from. Which they never did. It was just like any other heist movie. We're going to do something bad, so we are really the villains.
Yeah.
And then they have to be caught. The second half with the son and all of the after the robbery, and when you can feel that moment that the moment that they went wrong, I just didn't like it for that. And, I mean, it's something that I don't think I'd watch again. I definitely recommend it to people who are, like, fans of heist movies. Totally. If you haven't seen Rafifi, you need to go and see this movie. If not for anything else, just the heist scene. Like, I'm sure it probably is out there somewhere in public domain by now. Do you think? The 50s? No? How long is it for public domain?
It depends on where it originated. In the States, it's, I believe, 70 years after the death of the copyright owner. However, the copyright owner probably isn't a person in this case, so that might be different. Also, in the in the UK, it's 70 years finished, so it doesn't matter if you're dead or not, but after 70 years
of it being out there,
then it's in public domain. So it probably, I don't think it would be in public domain yet.
Well, you have to go and see this heist scene. It's amazing, and I think it... I mean, if it wasn't for how awesome the Heat robbery scene is, I think it would have taken up, like, the best heist scene ever, in my mind, because of how detailed and how well it plays out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say?
Not much. I actually, I'm surprised at what you were saying there, that you didn't really like it. I am on the other end.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
I appreciate it. But it's not something that I would look out for again.
Yeah, I see faults in its parts, but at the same time, when you put it all together, I think it's a pretty decent movie. You know, I'd shave a couple hours here and there from
especially the whole high scene, right? You'd be like, they got in, they got out. Let's do.
Well, no, you don't need to do it that way. But really, 5 hours of digging through the hole. Come on. No, I think it's a pretty decent movie. I would watch it again if I saw it, and I would probably recommend it to whoever said, you know, I want to watch a decent movie. What movies do you think are good?
I'm just reading this thing in Wikipedia about the song.
Oh, what does it say?
It's saying, Dasin, the director, admitted that he somewhat regretted that the Rafifi theme song utilized only to explain the film's title, which is never mentioned by any other film characters. The theme and the title. The title is almost untranslatable into English. The closest attempts have been Rough and Tumble and Pitched Battle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was looking to see if the woman who was singing it in the scene actually sang it.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because I don't know how come there are words like that that can't be translated sometimes from one language to another, because if you think about it, words are just communications of what we think. And so why can't we think that in English as opposed to French?
No, but you see, there's a thing that if it's something that's just created for a communication, right? It's like the first time someone said speaker.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a speaker. That is a speaker. So when a French person comes up and you say, did you see that speaker? The French person is like, what is that word? He's like, you know, the speaker, the big box with the thing in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what do you call it? I don't have a word for it.
No,
so they have a conscious decision to either make a word in the other language for it, or they have to just accept that word.
No, yes,
and it is untranslatable.
But what I'm saying is, it's still not untranslatable. You can describe it. You can say, oh, you don't know what a speaker is. It is the box with the magnet inside of it that moves up and down, and they have the cone with the paper, and you can describe what a speaker is. As I would assume that some words you could, even if it's not the one word translation, you could say, okay, what this word really is talking about is this and that and that and this, which is, I guess, what they're saying here, that the best translation is rough and tumble, but... it just seems weird to me that there's so many instances where you hear that, where they're like, okay, there's this word in German or in whatever language it is that can't be translated.
Well, you see, another thing is, I find this in Japanese a lot, is that there are certain things apparent in cultures where words are more than what they mean. They have certain... what's the friggin' word? I hate this.
Connotations
to it. Yeah, to it. Which are more than what they mean. Like, I think one good example is nakama. I think that's the word. In Japanese, which... I guess the literal translation is family. But it means more than that. It's like such a strong relationship bond between two people that it is as if they are family kind of thing. So it isn't untranslatable, it's just tough to give you the full meaning of what these people are saying when they say that word.
Then say that, goddammit.
No, yeah. And that's what he means when he says the word Rafifi is untranslatable.
I guess you.
Anyways, I think we can end it on that note.
Yep.
Yes, we can. This was the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
And I believe this is still Douglas.
You can find us at gmanreviews.com. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at gmanreviews.
And I'm on there too. You can check me out at DJR Lost His Name.
We broadcast every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until, of course, the clocks change. You can find all the episodes on gmanreviews.com. You can subscribe to us at iTunes. Just search for G-Man Reviews or the Unnamed Movie Podcast and you'll find it. Ooh, what else is there? There's the podcast alley. You can email us if you want. It's unnamed@gmanreviews.com.
And Mr. Weber, you can send us a screener still. We'll accept
Web.
It.
It's Webb.
It's Webb.
The director is Mark Webb, and the writer is Weber.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
I think I can't remember his first name. I think it's an M name, but I can't remember. So yeah.
Yeah. And all you other folks out there, trailers. Mr. Jones, I still haven't gotten to see your movie yet.
I don't think it's come out yet.
Duncan Jones.
Oh, I thought you meant Spike Jones.
No.
I was thinking Where the Wild Things Are. Anyways, thanks for listening and good night.
Hey, Joe!
Il a beaucoup de philosophie, mais il aime trop le rififi. À peine un autre gamme fait du gringue, qu'il pose la main sur son flingue. Redresse son galure et vas-y pour un petit coup de rififi. Je voudrais m'en mêler, mais du doigt, il me montre la porte et me dit tire-toi. Et quand il revient sans rien dire, avec son méchant petit sourire, à mon tour ça ne fait pas un pli, je suis bonne pour le